Mr. Smith, the Dick of Borough in the county of Norfolk, was a simple and earnest-minded Christian who had lived through those glorious times for the British farmer when Napoleon I turned all of Europe into vast battlefield and wheat was selling at 15 to 20 shillings a bushel. He was a genius too in his way and invented a plough, which was a great improvement on the cumbersome implement then in common use. His invention came under the notice of Prince Albert, who took great interest in agriculture, and he sent him to explain certain matters connected with the plough. The old farmer accordingly journeyed to Windsor, no light undertaking in the days when the railway had not altogether taken the place of the post chaise, the stage coach, and the carrier's cart. He reached Windsor in the twilight of a summer's evening, and reported himself at the castle. A gentleman of the household came to him and told him he would have to present himself at 10 o'clock on the following morning. "Yes, that's all right," said the farmer, "but what am I to do for a bed?" "A bed," said the colonel. "Oh, you'd better go to an inn." And he mentioned one where he would be made comfortable for the night, but Mr. Smith didn't take very kindly to that suggestion. "Well, now there, Colonel," he said, "that do seem mighty queer. That really do. Go to an inn. That's very inconvenient and costly. I didn't come here cause I wanted to come. I come because you asked me. I had to come, and the least you can do is to give me a bed. If you was to come to Dick Vore, my missus, she'd find you a bed. I know right well she would, especially if we asked you to come. And if you're as hungry as I be, I warrant she'd find you something to eat in the bargain." All Mr. Smith said in his present way, and the colonel was quite taken by storm. He brought him up to his rooms, had supper put before him, and gave orders for his accommodation for the night. The two spent a very pleasant evening together. When the colonel, he said, "I'll ring for your candle, Mr. Smith, and the man, he'll show you your room." "Thank you, Colonel," I replied, "but there's one thing I always do before I go to bed. I have a family prayer. I know my missus having it at Dickborough, and it won't do for her master not to help because he happened to be away from home. Will you let's have your Bible, if you please?" The Colonel said, "Oh, certainly, Mr. Smith." He put it on the table, and I said to him, "Well now, will you read and I pray, or shall I read and you pray?" He made an answer and said, "I think I'd better do the reading, Mr. Smith." So he read a psalm he did, a beautiful psalm that was too, but that was one of the shortest books. And after he'd done, we knelt down and I prayed, and I asked the Lord to bless him and the Queen, the Prince of Wales, and the dear babes. And he took the candle and was brought, and he showed me to my bedroom, his own self. A rare good grip he gave my hand when he bid me good night at the door. Well, in the morning I had a rare good breakfast. 10 o'clock I was took to see the Prince. He shook hands with me quite friendly, and we got talked about my plough. I showed him how it worked, and after we'd been talking a bit, the door opened, and a big man with his head powdered and the uniform on said, "Her Majesty," in a loud voice, and in came the Queen. And when I saw her come in, I was right astonished. I thought she'd had a gold crown on her head and a crown all the time behind, same as we see in the pictures. But there she was, just a plain, simple woman with a kind look on her face. She spoke to me in quite friendly-like and said she was very glad to see me. What a long way I'd come to show my plough. She hadn't spoken them words before. I was no more afraid of her than I am of my neighbour's wives, nor half as much as I am of some of them. She was just as simple, as kind, as she was no more than anybody else. There wasn't no pride about her. When I had to speak to her, I let her see I knowed who she was and that I respected her. She saw right well she did that John Smith of Dickborough, he wasn't a man to take no liberty because she was kind to him. But we had a rare pleasant talk after we'd done with the plough, The Queen asked me a lot of questions about the farmers in our part and the poor folk, what wages I got. Where their cottages come from, did they go to church regularly, and all manner of that, and I told her best I could. And by and by I began to get uneasy. Smith, now I say to myself, you are brought before kings and princes, and you must testify. So I looked to the Lord for an opening, and 'twasn't long afore it come. The Queen, she say to me, Mr. Smith, she say, however did you come to think of this clever invention of yours? Well, your majesty, mum, says I had that in my head a long time afore that come straight. I see what was wanted, plain enough, but I couldn't make out how to get at it. I thought, and I better thought, that didn't come clear nohow. So at last I made it a matter of prayer, and one morning that come to my mind like a flash. Just what you see in that there model. Why, Mr. Smith, she sighed, do you pray about your plough? Well, there now, your majesty, mum, says I, why shouldn't I? My father in heaven, he knowed I was in trouble about that. Why shouldn't I go and tell him? I remember about my boy Tom, he's a big man now, keeping company along with my neighbour Stebbins's daughter. He is a rare good girl, and I know she be. But when he was a teeny mite of a boy, I bought him a whip, and rare pleased he was with that. But he come to me one day crying as if his little heart was broke. He'd broke that whip he had, and he come to me with it. Well, your majesty, ma'am, that whip wasn't nothing to me. That only cost 18 pence when it was new. But there was something to see the tears are running down my boy's cheeks, so I took him on my knee, and I worked his eyes with my handkerchief. And I kissed him, I did, and I comforted him, why didn't, don't you cry, Tom, my boy, I said, I'll mend that whip, I will, for you, so that'll crack as loud as ever, and I'll buy you a new one next market day. Well, now, your majesty, mum, says I, don't you think our father in heaven, he cares much to me, so I care for my boy, Tom. My play wasn't much consequence to him, but I know right well my trouble was. Well, now, would you believe it? When I said that, the prince, he turned away and he blowed his nose with his pocket handkerchief, and the queen, she had tears in her eyes, and I could see one arm rolling down her cheek. You're a good man, Mr. Smith, she sighed. I'm thankful I have such subjects as you. Them were very kind words. I'm proud of them. I told my son Tom he'd never forget them, and he's to teach them to his children. So be as God gives him a family. When the Queen says them words to me, I say to her, your majesty, mum, I says, I hadn't got nothing good about me but what comes from God. No more ain't none of us, Mr. Smith, she said. Prince joined in. We had a rare good talk. 'Twas for all the world like a bandmate. Folks may say what they like. There ain't no use in them saying it to John Smith of Dickleborough. He know, and he said all the while, Queen Victoria is a right good, godly woman, and Prince Albert, he's another. Leastwise, will you know what I mean? It was getting nigh unknown this time, and the Queen at last, she said to me, Mr. Smith, she said, you'll find lunch provided for you, and the man waits on you, and he'll take you over to the castle if you wish. There's some fine paintings and other things you might like to see. Well, now, your majesty, mum, I says, there ain't much to judge of pictures, but there's one thing I'd really like to see. What's that, Miss Smith, she said. If I might see the dear babes. The Queen, she laughed, she looked right tickled, and she said I was a-walking in the park, and someone should go with me and show me the way, so she bid me goodbye, so did the prince, and the man come and took me away. Mr. Smith was taken to the park, and there met the royal children. His conductor said something to the lady in charge of them, doubtless telling her of his Majesty's command. And the good old man talked to the children in his kindly way for a few minutes, and he took off his wide beaver hat. Standing bare-headed in the sunshine, he prayed that the blessing of God might be upon them and the boys with them. And then he turned his face homeward and went back the simple everyday life of a Norfolk farmer. Not long after he received a box which he had brought from London by the carrier, and it found a most beautiful family Bible, with a note explaining that it was a present from the Queen, Prince Albert. Mr. Smith carefully packed it up again and returned it with a letter to the Queen, asking how she'd be so good as to put her name in. The Bible came back in due time with an autograph signature, not only of Her Majesty, but the Prince also, and all the children, and even the baby's little hand had been guided to write its name under the signature that the Queen had written with her own hand, a memento of the visit of a good man.